Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. I'm a resident. This is episode 235 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. And in this podcast, I'm going to be going over how to admit a patient on an internal medicine floor. Okay, this is probably very useful for people that are interns, people that are third year med students going through their IM rotations. So let's just get right into it. Basically, like, because admissions, right, you see some people like new third years or some residents, you see a new admission take them like 3 or 4 hours to complete. It really doesn't, to be honest with you. It should probably, you know, I feel like if you're working at a decent pace and if you practice what I tell you to do in this podcast, you can probably complete an admission in like less than an hour, right? From like start to like when you get the call to when the patient is admitted and talked in less than an hour. So let me show you how I basically did this. And I mean, again, I'm not saying this to be boastful or proud. I'm trying to be as humble as possible about this. And I've definitely learned a lot of tricks of the trade from people. But many times I could do admissions much quicker than an hour in some cases. And, you know, it's just good to be efficient, right? But again, you need to make sure you're accurate. So let's just talk through this process from beginning to end. So the first thing is, you know, you usually get a call that a new admission has come in, and you know, probably you probably sigh a little. You're like, gotta deal with this admission. Well, after you sigh, you know, kind of keep your head up high and get to work, right? So the first thing I always do, because you see some people, the moment they get a call, the first thing you do is to boom. I mean, obviously if the patient is unstable, you need to run and go see the patient, but you know, usually the patient is being, you're being called from the emergency room, the patient is usually stable. If the patient is stable, you know, go ahead and go to the medical record. That's the first thing I do. Second thing I do is I pull up some kind of safe documentation system, either in the medical record itself or like something that is safe to document, right? Just make sure it's something you can recover easily and it's something that's not accessible, that meets HIPAA quality or whatever. Let me just say that and I'll leave it at that. And then the first thing I do is actually read the emergency department note. Like I read the ED note and the triage note. And the thing is, as I'm reading the ED note and triage note, I'm essentially beginning to fill in sections of my actual note, right? That's why I say to pull up a notes documentation system. I'm beginning to fill out like some basic stuff about the HPI. And I will give you like my order that I document things in, right? So I'm already literally beginning to fill out stuff about the HPI, the review of systems, the ED course and all that stuff. I'm literally beginning to fill in all that information, right? So I read the ED note very thoroughly. Like I'm very detailed with this process. I read it because the gold mine of information. I also read the triage note because essentially, right, in the triage note, they'll tell you how the patient presented, how EMS found them or whatever, right? So all those things you can very easily write into your note, right? So basically what you're trying to accomplish is you're trying to write out as much of your note as is possible before you see the patient, right? And then the next thing I do is, as I write my note, if there is anything that's not clear from the ED note or from the triage note, one thing I try to do is I put like bolded letters by things I want to clarify with the patient, right? So let's say the ED notes, like, let's say I'm reading this note and it's a person that presented with this, 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 and then I'm thinking about like CHF exacerbation, right? And I notice that, you know, the ED did not check for JVD or something, I'll just bold out those things as things I'll do. It just makes my visit with the patient a lot more focused and a lot more high yield, right, if you may. So as I'm writing my notes, I bold out those things that I'm like, okay, I'd like to clarify with this patient when I actually see them, right? And one other thing I then go to next is I look at the patient's vitals, right? Just to get an idea of how they presented, right? Like if a patient came in and their blood pressure is 140 over 90, their heart rate is like 75, like all their vitals are normal, they're probably fine. It's probably something a little not bad, right? Something that's not going to kill them immediately, right? And then the next thing I do is I look at the labs and I write down anything that's grossly abnormal. In fact, this is how I make my problem list, right? The way I make my problem list, first thing I do is like the patient's chief complaints, chief presentation, I add that to my problem list. Any super abnormal labs, right? So if their potassium is like, if their sodium is like 134, right? Come on, I'm not going to worry about that. That's not in my problem list. But, you know, if the patient's potassium is like 6.5, that's probably important to know, right? So my problem list is made up of their chief complaint, like what they presented with, any super abnormal labs, that's two. Any any imaging that has been done, most patients that come to the hospital get imaging, right? Any imaging that has been done, if there was a diagnosis that was given, I also add that to my problem list. And then the fourth thing I add is I make sure that I look at their past medical history, just in terms of like chronic problems they have. I also add those to my problem list, because it's not like they leave those problems at the door when they get to the hospital, right? Those problems still have to be actively managed in the hospital. And then, so again, like I said, I look at the imaging, see if there's any diagnosis given, I add that to my problem list. And then one other thing I also do is I also look up the interventions that have been done in the ED. Like, did they get fluids? How many liters of fluid did they get? Did they get antiemetics? Did they get pressors in the ED? Were they given benzos? Were they given pain control? Were they started on antibiotics? All those things I just like to check. And usually you can find this under the MAR. It depends on the kind of medical record you're using, but it's usually found in the MAR section of like the MAR section of most electronic medical records, right? And once you find that, right, that will usually give you an idea as to the kind of plan you want to enact with the patient, right? And just as an add-on, I will go ahead and say is if a patient is like super complex, one thing I sometimes do is I just dig up notes from like their most recent admissions. The thing is, usually that will help me with organization, because the person that wrote the previous note probably like did a pretty extensive digging. And, you know, I try to find a good note where like they catalog their past medical history, their surgical history, like their presentation, because many times patients will present for something that they've presented with like a while back, right? So, you know, I just use that to organize my information. Just makes things a lot more succinct, a lot more, like a lot quicker, right? And in terms of notes, so to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of using templates for many things in medicine. I usually freestyle my notes, because again, I notice that some of those templates, they will pull all these labs and data from like everywhere in the medical record, makes my note all clogged up. So I really don't do that. But I notice, even because many people may be like, "Whoa, Divine, you must be wasting a lot of time then." No, I don't waste a lot of time. Again, I put the things that I know are pertinent and will help you and will help the hospital bill appropriately. I don't waste time with fluff, like labs from this, from that, from this, from that, all the normal, abnormal, everything in one spot. I don't do any of that garbage, so I don't do that. So I freestyle most of my notes, right? So my HPI, right? So again, I'll put in my HPI, like, and again, I don't put fluff, right? Mr. X is a 55-year-old male with a past medical history of blah, 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 presenting with the chief complaint of this, right? And then, you know, you've gone through third year, or you've heard of old carts or whatever. You know, you kind of put in those old carts questions. And I'm very matter of fact on that. I put in my old carts questions, and then I put like the any like other pertinent things. And then I usually throw in a sentence for like review of systems. I say, Mr. This endorses blah, 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 but denies blah, 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 blah. And when I'm putting that first sentence, so let's say they have a past medical history of like diabetes, I always put their last hemoglobin A1C. Or let's say they have a past medical history of heart failure, I put their most recent ejection fraction, and I try to put dates on things, right? Or if they have a history of HIV, I try to put their most recent CD4 count. That's usually helpful, right? So I do my HPI. Again, my HPI is usually pretty short. All I answer is, this is the person's age, this is their past medical history, this is their, with the past medical history of blah, 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 presenting with a chief complaint of blah, 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 blah. His symptoms began so and so time, located where, again, the old cards questions. And then again, anything that's pertinent, right? So let's say this person's coming in with a COPD exacerbation, you know, I want to throw in like that he still smokes or something like that, right? Or if he has been hospitalized for something similar in the past, like I'll throw that into my note, right? And then I'll usually, after I put my HPI, the next thing I do is I put a short section on what I call ED course, right? ED course. An ED course is usually like 3 to 4 sentences. Typically what I do is I just put in a sentence on presentation, Mr. X vitals were this. I'll list out the vitals. And then I'll say like basic labs and imaging were obtained, which were notable for. So the things that were notable, again, I'm not putting all the labs, but if their BNP was 10,000 or whatever, like anything that was super notable, super pertinent, I just put them and I separate them by commas. And then I say he was given this, 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 and those. So let's say he was given like IV furosemide, 80 milligrams, this, 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 and that. I put what they did. I'm not putting any diagnosis. I just put what they did. And then I'll put he was subsequently admitted to internal medicine for further management. That's it, right? It's usually like 3 sentences. And then after that, I then go from the ED course to review of systems, because my review of systems is essentially one sentence in my HPI, like, oh, Mr. This endorses blah, 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 blah. Those are the pertinent positives, but denies blah, comma, blah, comma, blah, comma, blah, comma, period, right? Once I do that, so my review of systems, I always put that as a header, but I say a 10-point review of systems was conducted and is otherwise negative except as noted in the HPI. Boom, that's it. And then after that, I put the past medical history, I kind of fill that out. Past surgical history, I fill that out. The meds, I try to put the meds, the dose, the meds and the dose, and the dosing regimen, right? And then after that, I put the allergies, I put the family history, I put the social history, right? Smoking, drugs, if it's like I'm on an OB-GYN rotation, I'll put like sexually active with who and all that stuff, or if it's pertinent, right? And then after that, I do the physical exam. Again, this one I do have a template for. So I have a template for like a pre-written normal physical exam. So I just copy it, paste it into my note, and then I modify, I edit it, right? So don't put a normal physical exam. And please don't put physical exams you actually do not end up doing now, right? I edit that, right? And then after that, I have a section that I call labs and imaging. Again, I don't put all of the patient's vitals or whatever. The only things I put down are things that are pertinent, the things that are positive. If their sodium is normal, I don't include it. Anything that is normal is not included in my labs and imaging section. I just put that. And you see some people, they copy the radiologist's impression and dump it into their note. I don't do that. I'll just say a CT with IV contrast was notable for this. So my notes are very like not cluttered in general, right? And then after that, I go to my assessment and plan, right? And my assessment and plan, I always put a short like three sentence like paragraph. And I call it like a power statement, right? So for example, let's say a person is, let's say I will do something like this, like Mr. X is a 55-year-old male with a past medical history of hypertension and type 2 diabetes who presented with a chief complaint of shortness of breath. On admission, his vitals were notable for profound hypotension with a physical exam revealing bibasilar crackles on auscultation of the lungs. Notable labs were notable for a BNP of 10,000, mild hypokalemia, and a metabolic acidosis. Given the, and then I'll say a chest X-ray obtained was positive for cephalization of his pulmonary vessels, which was consistent with pulmonary edema. Given the presentation, physical exam, and lab and imaging findings, the most likely etiology of Mr. X's presentation is a CHF exacerbation. That's my power statement. And then, boom, I go to problem number one. And again, I've told you how I make up my problems. Chief complaint, abnormal labs, anything that was brought up on imaging diagnosis and their chronic medical problems. Those are the four things. And then the thing is, as I write these problems, I try to, basically like my plan for each problem, I try to answer three questions. Again, if you notice, I'm very algorithmic in the way I work. When you have like an algorithm in your mind for doing something, you're usually super efficient in that thing. I always try to answer three questions. First question, what is the objective data that I use to make this diagnosis, right? So for example, like if I put like CHF exacerbation as a problem, I'll put like BNP was, you know, noted to be 10,000, chest X-ray consistent with cephalization of pulmonary vessels and pulmonary edema, right? So that's how I assess the problem that, okay, this is a CHF exacerbation. And then the next thing I do is, what am I doing about it? And that's literally my next sentence. And I don't put like these verbose statements. No. I just put IV furosemide, 80 milligrams, TID or something like that. That's an astronomical dose of furosemide, by the way. Although, you know, I've done it on a few people before that, you know, really needed it. But, you know, 80 milligrams furosemide, IV, TID, right? And then the next thing I'm going to do is, and then I'm going to write, how am I going to track this problem so that I know what I'm going to be doing next time? And I'll talk about this follow-up, you know, like pre-rounding on patients in a different podcast. So, like, how am I going to track this? Like, I'm going to check, like, oh, what's their urine output like? What's their volume status like? Like, do they have, like, 3-plus edema today or something? I'll just keep track of those things, right? So, basically, like, I usually have written, like, maybe, like, 95% of my note before I even see the patient. And this whole process of, like, writing your notes, blah, 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 you know, probably take, like, 30, 40 minutes, which, again, that takes time, right? when I go to see the patient, it can be a lot more focused, right? I'm not going to like reinvent the wheel that someone has already invented, right? So after I do that stuff, I go see the patient and then I clarify those things. I do my own full physical exam based on what I think is wrong with the patient. And, you know, I see them, get them admitted, talk them in, discuss the plan with my senior, make any changes to my note, and then I sign my note. And then the thing is, the same moments, the next thing I literally do is I start writing my discharge summary, right? Because the most annoying section of the discharge summary is the hospital course. Most of the other sections tend to be very templated. So I start writing my discharge summary. And the thing is, every day, I just spend like 30 seconds to a minute modifying the discharge summary based on any new events that have come up in the patient's hospital course. And then it's no big surprise that when a patient is ready to be discharged, I already have like a complete hospital course that's very detailed. I just copy it, paste it into the hospital course section, fill out the other sections real quick, and then boom, most of my discharge summaries probably took me like 5 minutes or less to write in my intern year. So that's how you go about admitting a new patient. It's not a painful process, pretty straightforward. Again, just have an approach in your mind. So I'm just giving you an idea of my approach. I'm not saying my approach is perfect, but that's what has always worked for me. So as I do at the end of every podcast, I do offer one-on-one tutoring for many exams. Step 1, Step 2 CK, Step 2 CS, Step 3, preclinical med school exams, third year shelf exams. I do longitudinal tutoring where if you're starting off any year in med school, I'll tutor you for like all your exams during that year. And at the same time, I'm also tutoring you for your upcoming USMLE exam. And then I offer these booster courses. It's 20 hours for Step 1, for Step 2 CK, and for Step 3. Very high yield. In an integrated format, we'll review the must-knows for each of the different disciplines that are represented on your test. Again, I've done this with tons of people. Many people have gotten very good score increases. And then I also do coaching for two things. So one is for like ERAS applications, if you're a med student applying to residency, or AMCAS applications, if you're a college student applying to med school. Again, I help people out with personal statements, editing applications, mock interviews, rec letters, things like that. Again, I've worked with tons of people with tricky applications like low scores, no research, graduated from med school 10 years ago, failed a USMLE exam, no honors, nothing. Like all those things, I've helped people navigate those tricky situations and many of them have matched. So again, if you're interested in any of those things, reach out to me and I'll be glad to point you out in the right direction. And then one other thing I offer coaching for, which I kind of remember, there are some things I literally do with people that I don't even advertise. But one thing I've done with many people in the past is like coaching on how to be good interns, right? So it's usually like a 20-hour course. We'll work through like the highest yield diagnoses that you'll likely see as an intern. I'll walk you through like how to write your note, how to work up these problems and all those things. And again, it just helps people start off intern year on a solid footing. And they feel very confident in their abilities, right? Especially, again, people that are starting off on a ward-based rotation or whatever, right? So if that's something you're interested in, feel free to reach out to me and I'll be happy to give you some more information. And please subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's called Divine Intervention, USMLE Podcasts and Videos. I also have an app like the podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify and Google Play. Please subscribe to those. And then please subscribe to my WordPress website. It's Divine Intervention Podcasts with an S at the end at gmail.com. And if you have any questions about tutoring, and oh, I forgot, I also offer tutoring for like the medicine, internal medicine and pediatrics in training exams and board exams. So if you have any resident friends that need those, feel free to reach out to me. And then I also tutor for the MCAT and most pre-med science subjects. So if you need information on any of those things, reach out to me through the website. Or send me an email at divineinterventionpodcasts with an S at the end at gmail.com. And I'll be happy to point you in the right direction. So thank you for listening. There's no life lesson today because I got to run for a meeting in about 3 minutes. So I'll talk to you later. God bless you. See you next time. Thank you.